Well, in just a moment, we're going to hear more from you, Dave. We're very excited. But I cannot commend the work of Atmore. It is just such a privilege even to hear some of the stuff that these guys are doing. And a lot of it happens behind the scenes. It doesn't get talked a lot from the front, but it is incredible hearing kind of just snippets of lives being transformed. And it's amazing that someone like you, Dave, is part of that.
I'll just say something about what you see. So you see out in the streets, you probably see about 30 people rough sleeping in the centre of town. The head count is 98 rough sleepers in Oxford. There's really about three times that. There's a hidden element of rough sleepers. There's hidden homeless. There's young people hidden homeless, sofa surfing, runaways. So it's about, and we know most of them. We know most of them by name. And we know most of their stories as much as they'll tell a story. So when you're walking along and you see someone, you think, why isn't someone doing something? Someone is doing something, I assure you. We're out most nights just, you know, connecting with people. It's quite annoying for my wife and children when we go out for dinner and we're walking down somewhere and someone says, Oh, Dave. So, you know, my wife says, don't go over there, just keep walking, you know. So, yeah, so we know, so God is on the move and the church is doing good stuff, so.
Matt, you had a great question as we were preparing earlier. Do you mind asking that? I think that'd be a great sort of opener for some of the discussion.
Yeah, so I feel like one sort of day-to-day thing that all of us might face in Oxford is that we'll walk home tonight and we'll walk past our homeless person. And it's really difficult to know what the response there should be and what the sort of Jesus response would be. I mean, I always have questions of, well, he's giving them the money necessary, the best thing, and they're going to spend it on the good thing. Should I buy them a meal instead that I can't buy the next person a meal? Who should I choose to give to? What would you say Jesus would be a really practical response that when you walk past people that we can love them like Jesus did in a realistic way?
Yeah, it's a great question. Any other questions? It's a question you get asked more than anything. Julie's asked me a few times since we've worked together. I've never given her a really satisfactory answer, that's why she keeps asking. There's no real silver bullet answer. There's no panacea that solves it all, really. What's your name? Tell me about you, Matt. Where are you from? Yeah, I know Amersham, okay. All right, and why are you in Oxford? And tell me what you're studying. Right, and where do you sit in your family structure? And how's that for you? Right, so who's now learnt more about Matt than they knew before? So that's what you do with a homeless person. That's what you do. Just treat them as a person. They're not a statistic. They're not a role mat. They're not a sleeping bag. They're an individual with an identity. The irony is you can ask them four times and they'll give you four different names and four different stories. But, you know, so now in your culture, you know, what's your name, but what do you prefer to be known as? So it's a little bit like that, really. When you meet someone, his name isn't really Spike. You know that, don't you? That's just his chosen name. So I would suggest the best thing you could do is see the person. I mean, see the person. Don't see the rubbish. See the person. Look into the person. Just take a minute. Take a minute and look into the person. And when you come back, and as you walk away, best advice I could give you, as you engage with the person, walk away and just pray for them. Don't pray what's in your heart for them. Pray what you think God might want for them or what they might want for themselves. They might not want to be off the streets. They might not be homeless, but they're doing something. Something's chaotic in their lives for them to be there. And then take their name away with you and write it down somewhere and just continue to pray for them. And as often as you see them, just gently engage with them again and say, "Hi, Matt. Amersham, right? I remember. You're the youngest, aren't you? I remember that." Right? And just engage with the person and see the person and continue to see the person and don't give them any money. You can't starve on the streets of Oxford. If you're a starving student, just go and sit on Corn Market. You'd never starve again. It's almost impossible to starve on the streets of Oxford. There's hot food all day, just about every day of the week. It's really difficult to starve in Oxford on the streets. So people aren't really starving. There's food available. So
that's really helpful. Any other questions before Dave?
Yeah, someone asked another really awkward question. Who was that? Where is he?
Oh, Joel, you had a question earlier.
Oh, Joel. Yeah, that was a much easier, a bit easier question than Matt's. Try that one.
Yeah, so I was asking about the fact that we're often really aware of the amount of interest that's going on in Oxford in the world generally. It can be particularly overwhelming. And sort of, I was wondering how to manage the balance between kind of not lying to ourselves and pretending that nothing's going wrong, but
yeah,
also not being completely overwhelmed and just, yeah, immobilised by how bad the situation is.
Yeah. Can't say that, is that right? So it was about being confronted by need all the time. How do you respond? How do you stop not responding? Very difficult question, because it depends who you are. So my rule is this. We can't all give everything we have, and we can't all go. We can't all solve all of this stuff. But there's a response we can't afford, and that's to do nothing. So as a Christian, or even as a moral person, to do nothing is, well, it's an evil that this world is surrounded by, really. There's an evil of apathy and disconnect, where we don't care, where we turn the TV off. Or we have a concert in Wembley to try and raise money for the starving in Africa. And every Christmas we play Feed the World Christmas song, not realising that there was a whole generation of people died during, and really what we ought to do is have a dirge, is have a memorial service, have something more melancholic. And so what we do, in order to cope, we often trivialise what's going on, or we find something a bit humorous about it, or something a bit noble about it. Who's here had a close family bereavement? Anyone had a close family bereavement? Just keep your hands up. Have a look around how many you are. There's nothing good about a close family bereavement. But often when you talk to people, they will look to say something positive. Oh, don't weller with the Lord. Or when your grand dies and a baby's born in your family, they see it as a bit of kind of quid pro quo. A bit of kind of, well, she's gone off and here comes another one, like a bus. There's nothing good about that horror of grief, and there's nothing good about the injustice in the world. So my response is this, and I'm confronted by it all the time. My mailbox is full of it all the time, and it annoys me a lot, really. So I have a couple of things I pray. I always pray, Lord, keep my heart soft to a world that's suffering. That is my go-to prayer. If I find myself becoming a bit calloused in my heart towards the needs of people, there's a guy been sleeping on our doorstep today, and I don't like him because I know him really well. I know he's a fraud, and I struggle with compassion. And so once I'd done my compassionate act and thrown him off our doorstep today, and him saying, "Oh, but I can't leave. I've got no shoes." So I went home, got a pair of my shoes, came back to the office, and gave him my shoes. And he looked at them. Oh, thanks. And then 10 minutes later, I found they were back in my pigeonhole. He'd found a pair of shoes in his bag. So I go away then, and I get callous in my heart. I begin to allow hard skin to form over the compassionate place in my heart. And I just ask the Lord to take that away and keep me compassionate. Keep me looking at these people the way God would look at them. And I do this one thing. I say, God, how would you have me respond? And I have a couple of rules. I don't give away what is not mine. So if I'm in debt, I don't send money. And I don't give time I don't have. But the very least I can do is pray. The very least I can do.
Thanks so much, Dave. We were looking forward to hearing a bit more from you in just a moment.
It's a bit heavy, isn't it?
But it's real. And we're going to move into a time of worship and prayer at the end. But before that, just bullet points of what are the practical ways people can get involved in ACT, or perhaps find out a bit more. You sent me this text,
I can tell you.
You know the ones. You remember
if you'd like to get involved in ACT, and this isn't tonight isn't about a plug to get involved with us. There's loads of stuff going on across the city. You get involved with Just Love or one of those really excellent organisations that will mobilise you into doing something without too much time commitment, you know. But a few things you could do with us. We have a Monday night team that goes out on the streets, goes on outreach. Emily O'Dell, where are you? So Emily O'Dell goes on that. I don't know if anyone else goes on it. We just basically go out and tell people about that we've got a hot meal. And then on a Monday evening in our basement of the parish centre, we feed about 50 people, something like that. And then we tell them about Jesus. And over the last few years, we've seen quite a few people come to the Lord. Amazing. Haven't come off drugs. Haven't stopped being homeless. But they've come to the Lord. It's a lovely thing for us. And you could do that. You could volunteer with that. Once a month, we have a community meal where this end of the church is converted into a restaurant type place, and we feed about 100 homeless people and rough sleepers. You could come and volunteer for that. And also in July, when you've all gone home, we have a gala dinner in here. But if you're staying around and want to serve, we would need some really good people to serve at our gala dinner, which is our big fundraiser of the year.
Amazing. And sure, you can come and grab Dave at some point as well and chat to him more about that.